William Ritz, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you so much.
Now, we spoke last about a year ago. Your role as the RBC affiliate composer with the TSO was fairly new. How's it been going now that you're almost 2 years in?
It has been really, really incredible. It's, been incredibly busy. We've been doing a lot of new music over the last few seasons and planning a lot of new music for future seasons. I think one of the big takeaways is when you're going into it, you know you'll be writing music and active in that way and challenged in that way as a composer, but there's so much of the behind the scenes that you get to be involved with in, planning future music that we'll be doing, commissioning and partners like that, as well as helping with mentorship and supporting emerging artists as well. And that sort of behind the scenes glimpse is really actually one of the most helpful parts of the role and most enriching parts, because you sort of figure out how to position yourself as an artist and how you can interact with these organizations. It's been really, really amazing.
Wow. Speaking of exploring, new composers, Explore the Score.
Yes.
Has just happened. So this is an annual event. Describe it for us. Remind us what Explore the Score is.
So Explore the Score is our annual orchestral reading session. And so for those outside of the orchestral or the composition world, reading session is essentially a rehearsal where composers get to hear their music played by an orchestra. So it's not necessarily a concert, but it's a chance for these composers to work with the orchestra directly, hear their music performed, get feedback, try some things out. It's really one of the most valuable things you can have as a composer. It's sort of like learning how to drive a car. And if you never actually sat in a car, there's only so much you can really do. This sort of hypotheticals and theoreticals of writing music are great, but you need to actually hear it performed. And so this is an opportunity where we select four composers each season, and they get to hear their music performed by the orchestra. In advance of all that, one of the sessions that they get to have is with our principal librarian, Michael McCauley, where they get great feedback on the score preparation and getting their sheet music to be up to a professional standard. And so that's months and months in advance of the actual reading session. Then they go back to work and make all sorts of revisions to their music. And then on the day of, they each get about 20 minutes to half an hour with the orchestra. It was led by our wonderful RBC resident conductor, Nicholas Sharma. And they run through the piece. They do a bit of rehearsal. The composer gets to give some feedback. And then they run through it again. And then following the rehearsal, there's this wonderful feedback session where some of the musicians from the orchestra come in, so we get sort of a representative from each section of the orchestra, a string player, wind player, percussionist. This year we had a wonderful Canadian composer who came to give feedback as well as our guest composer, Linda Catlin Smith, who's actually opening our 26-27 concert season with a new commission. And then myself and our composer advisor, Emily LaBelle, Nicholas Sharman. So they get this great group of people who give feedback from different perspectives. And so they get to sort of have the gamut of how people are receiving their music, what things could be changed, what things worked really well, what things maybe didn't work as well. It's really, really wonderful, and a lot all in one day for these composers.
I was going to say that sounds jam-packed.
Yeah.
It's a lot for them to, and in the end, sort of digest and unpack, but what an amazing opportunity. When you're looking, because you help to choose these composers, am I correct?
Yeah, so a jury of myself, a guest composer, and some of our musician representatives, we go through lots of applications. It's very competitive. This year we had four Toronto-based composers, which doesn't always happen, but we had Massimo Guida, Michele Salvaggi, Yuhan Zhu, and Dmitry Kirillov.
And what are you looking for in these applications when you're deciding?
It's sort of a balance. First and foremost, you're looking for really exciting work. People who are demonstrating a unique voice, they're trying things out, they're being adventurous with their music. And then there's also a balance of looking at how are these composers situated in their careers at this time. So who would really benefit from this opportunity? We're looking for people who are sort of on the cusp of, starting their careers or making big progressions in their career. And can this really help push them to that next stage? So it's a balance of those two things mainly.
And what does this kind of opportunity mean to a young composer?
It's like all those things that I had mentioned already about how beneficial it is, but it's also sort of the stepping stone of, for many of them, it may be their first time working with a professional orchestra, which opens up a lot of doors for them professionally. They also get to leave with an archival recording of the piece that they can use for sharing with organizations or for grant applications or, you know, university applications, festival applications. So there's all these things on top of just getting to explore their craft and develop that. It's also opening doors for them within their careers.
Now, you have this amazing opportunity as the RBC affiliate composer to have commissions directly from the TSO that are going to be performed. And I want to talk about Echo Chamber in a moment, but I want to double back to more of your behind-the-scenes role with the TSO, which, to my mind, seems to be ever more engaged in new music and looking at the 2026-27 season. It seems chock full.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the 26-27 season alone, we have 8 world premieres, and those are all Canadian composers. We have 3 Canadian premieres, a North American premiere, and then about 10 other works by contemporary and living composers throughout the season. So it's almost one piece for every classics program that we have, which is, you know, it's a lot of new music, and it ranges a wide aesthetic variety of new music. Like, there's all the different types of new music people love. You'll hear all of it next season, which is really exciting to see.
And you said that there's like a group of you who are working on this. What's that like?
Yeah, so we're very fortunate at the Toronto Symphony to actually have a very robust new music team, which you don't see at all orchestras. It's actually fairly uncommon. So there's myself, who's the RBC affiliate composer. We have Emily LaBelle, who's the composer advisor. And then we have Marlena Pellegrino, who's our new music coordinator. And so the three of us, along with our other colleagues in artistic planning, meet almost weekly to discuss upcoming commissions, future programming, projects like Explore the Score or Next Gen Composers. And so we are constantly looking at, you know, what's upcoming, what can we explore, who's doing exciting things in the new music world that maybe we want to work with them, or who are our wonderful Canadian composers that we've worked with before? Can we bring their music back that we love and bring it to our audiences again? And so at this point, like, we'll be looking at the next 2-3 seasons for commission, because you work very far back when you're doing and creating new works with composers.
Right, of course. And for next season, is there anyone in particular you're really excited to hear their new work from?
I think one of the really exciting programs for me is over the last, I think this season and next, or in the last few seasons, we've been doing the complete Beethoven cycle of symphonies. And it's culminating next season with a wonderful concert that has Beethoven's first and second symphonies, as well as 2 world premieres of concertos written by Emily LaBelle and Kevin Lau, who was also a previous affiliate composer with the Toronto Symphony. And so Emily is writing a new concerto for our principal cellist, Joseph Johnson, and Kevin Lau is writing a harp concerto for our principal harpist, Heidi Bearcroft.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really exciting way to sort of juxtapose these 2 early symphonies by Beethoven that everyone is very familiar with, and then put side by side with it 2 completely new works by Canadian composers. And this sort of gives us a look into the mind of our music director, Gustavo Jimeno, who is really passionate about how can we take these standard canonic works and put them in sort of a new light and a fresh light by putting them next to them and programming next to these new works.
Fantastic. Your new work, Echo Chamber, is about to have its world premiere with the TSO in April. Please tell us about this work.
Yeah, so the title is Echo Chamber, and the basis of this piece is essentially a musical exploration of how ideas sort of gain weight and importance through repetition. And so the starting point for me was really, and of course this is maybe a problem for me, too much time on my phone. But as you're looking through social media, there's just this increasing amount of AI-generated content, misinformation, this repetition of things that we know aren't true, but then of course they gain traction and then they expand and grow and grow. And sort of it's this artificial repetition and value that we give to these ideas that are perpetuated throughout social media. And so the title, Echo Chamber, of course, we sort of understand that within a social way of how ideas can reverberate through something and they gain importance. And so within this piece, I present this musical idea essentially. And early on in the piece, there's this very long bass clarinet solo, which was really fun to work on with our bass clarinetist, Miles Haskins, who sort of, he and I workshopped it and kind of wanted to display the instrument in a new and exciting way. And that material is presented early in the piece, and then the remainder of the piece all pulls from and stems from this musical material. And so it's echoing and reverberating and repeating, but then there's sort of a twist to everything as we keep hearing it. So it's like what you'd heard before, but then there's a little pull to it or a new idea or a new inflection to it. And as the piece progresses, it sort of gains this momentum and weight to it where, you know, you don't know if that is still the same idea. Was that a real idea? It's sort of playing around with that idea that we experience in our day to day.
I look forward to hearing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your work last year, the dance scenes from the living room.
Yes,
that was
thank
really
you so much.
Fun. A lot of fun. Well, before I let you go, any ideas for upcoming compositions that you want to share, or is it something a little private?
When I finished Echo Chamber, I always give myself a few weeks off to recover sort of emotionally and physically from writing. So I'm just out of that and starting work on a new piece actually for the National Youth Orchestra of Canada that will be taken on tour this summer with the orchestra. And that's through the National Youth Orchestra Composer Mentorship Program, as well as a new work that I'm writing, chamber work, as part of the Graham Summer Competition for Young Composers, which is presented with McGill and the Schulich School of Music.
Fantastic. Well, toi 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 for the premiere, and thanks for all your great work with the TSO and for joining me tonight to tell us all about it.
Thanks so much.